Blame you for feeling confused. I told you before. I know. I know. Adrian didn't sound particularly upset. In fact, there was a surprisingly patient tone in his voice. I know you said him coming back wouldn't affect things between us. But saying one thing before it happens and then actually having that thing happen are two different things. What are you getting at? I asked, kind of confused. I want you, Rose. He squeezed my hand more tightly. I've always wanted you. I want to be with you. I'd like to be like other guys and say I want to take care of you too, but, well, when it comes down to it, you'd probably be the one taking care of me. I laughed in spite of myself. Some days I think you're in more danger from yourself than anyone else. You smell like cigarettes, you know. Hey, I have never, ever said I was perfect. And you're wrong. You're probably the most dangerous thing in my life. Adrian. Wait. With his other hand, he pressed his fingers over my lips. Just listen. It'd be stupid for me to think that your old boyfriend coming back isn't going to have any effect on you. So do I like you wanting to see him? No, of course not. That's instinct. But there's more, you know. I do believe that he's a Dampier again, absolutely, but... But what? Adrian's words had me more curious than ever now. But just because he isn't a Strigoi doesn't mean it's entirely gone from him. Hold on. Adrian could see my mouth opening in outrage. I'm not saying he's evil or means to be evil or anything like that. But what he went through, it's huge. Epic. We really don't know much about the changing process. What effect did that kind of life have on him? Are there violent parts of him that might suddenly lash out? That's what I'm worried about, Rose. I know you. I know you aren't going to be able to help yourself. You'll have to see him and talk to him. But is it safe? That's what no one knows. We don't know anything about this. We don't know if he's dangerous. Christian had said the same thing to Lyssa. I examined Adrian intently. It sounded like a convenient excuse to keep Dimitri and me apart. Yet, I saw truth in those deep green eyes. He meant it. He was nervous about what Dimitri might do. Adrian had also been honest about being jealous, which I had to admire. He hadn't ordered me not to see Dimitri or tried to dictate my behavior. I liked that too. I extended my hand and laced my fingers with Adrian's. He's not dangerous. He's sad. Sad for what he's done. The guilt's killing him. I can imagine. I probably wouldn't forgive myself either if I suddenly realized I'd been brutally killing people for the last 4 months. Adrian pulled me to him and kissed the top of my head. And for everyone's sake, yes, even his, I really hope he is exactly the way he was. Just be careful, okay? I will, I said, kissing his cheek. And as much as I ever am. He grinned and released me. That's the best I can hope for. For now, I've got to head back to my parents for a little bit. I'll come back for you at 4, okay? Okay. Is there anything I should wear to this secret party? Nice dress clothes are fine. Something occurred to me. If this is so elite and prestigious, how are you going to get a lowly Dampier like me in? With this. Adrian reached for a bag he'd set down upon entering. He handed it to me. Curious, I opened the bag and gaped at what I saw. It was a mask, one that just covered the top half of the face around the eyes. It was intricately worked with golden green leaves and bejeweled flowers. A mask? I exclaimed. We're wearing masks to this thing? What is this, Halloween? He winked. See you at 4. We didn't actually put on the masks until we arrived at the Death Watch. As part of the secret nature of it all, Adrian said he didn't want to call any attention to ourselves while going to it. So we walked across the court's grounds dressed up. I wore the same dress I'd worn to dinner at his parents, but not getting much more notice than the two of us usually did when we were together. Besides, it was late, and a lot of the court was getting ready for bed. Our destination surprised me. It was one of the buildings that non-royal court workers lived in, one that was very near Mia's. Well, I suppose the last place you'd look for a royal party would be at the home of a commoner. Except, we didn't go to any of the apartments inside. Once we stepped into the building's lobby, Adrian indicated we should put our masks on. He then took me over to what appeared to be a janitor's closet. It wasn't. Instead, the door opened to a staircase leading down into darkness. I couldn't see the bottom, which put me on high alert. I instinctively wanted to know the details of every situation I entered. Adrian seemed calm and confident as he headed down, so I took it on faith he wasn't leading me to some sacrificial altar. I hated to admit it, but curiosity over this Death Watch thing was temporarily taking my mind off Dimitri. Adrian and I eventually reached another door, and this one had two guards. Both men were Maroi, both masked like Adrian and me. Their postures were stiff and defensive. They said nothing but simply looked at us expectantly. Adrian said a few words that sounded like Romanian, and a moment later, one of the men unlocked the door and gestured us inside. "Secret password?" I murmured to Adrian as we swept past.
"Passwords, actually. One for you and one for me. Every guest has a unique one."
We stepped into a narrow tunnel lit only by torches embedded in the walls. Their dancing flames cast fanciful shadows as we passed by. From far ahead, the low murmur of conversation reached us. It sounded surprisingly normal, like any conversation you'd hear at a party. Based on Adrian's description, I'd half expected to hear chanting or drums. I shook my head. I knew it. They keep a medieval dungeon under the court. I'm surprised there aren't chains on the walls.
"Scared?"
Adrian teased, clasping hold of my hand.
"Of this? Hardly. I mean, on the Rose Hathaway scale of scariness, this is barely a..."
We emerged out of the hall before I could finish. An expansive room with vaulted ceilings spread out before us. Something that boggled my spatially challenged brain as I tried to recall just how far underground we'd gone. Wrought iron chandeliers, holding lit candles, hung from the ceiling, casting the same ghostly light the torches had. The walls were made of stone, but it was a very artful, pretty stone, gray with reddish flecks, polished into smooth, round pieces. Someone had wanted to keep the old-world dungeon feel, but still have the place look stylish. It was a typical line of royal thinking. 50 or so people were milling around the room, some huddled in groups. Like Adrian and me, they wore formal clothing and half-masks. All the masks were different. Some had a floral theme like mine, while others were decorated with animals. Some simply had swirls or geometric designs. Even though the masks only covered half the guests' faces, the sketchy lighting went a long way to obscure any other identifying features. I scrutinized them carefully, hoping I might pick out details that would give someone away. Adrian led me out of the entryway and over toward a corner. As my view of the area expanded, I could see a large fire pit in the middle of the room, embedded in the stone floor. No fire burned in it, but everyone kept well away. For a moment, I had a disorienting flash of déjà vu, thinking back to my time in Siberia. I'd been to a type of memorial ceremony there, too, though hardly one with masks or passwords, and everyone had sat around a bonfire outdoors. It had been in Dimitri's honor, as all those who had loved him sat and told stories about him. I tried to get a better look at the fire, but Adrian was intent on keeping us behind the bulk of the crowd.
"Don't bring attention to yourself," he warned.
"I was just looking."
"Yeah, but anyone who looks too close is going to realize you're the shortest person here. It'd be pretty obvious you're a Dampier. This is elite old blood, remember?"
I frowned at him as much as I could through the mask. "But I thought you said you'd made arrangements for me to be here." I groaned when he didn't answer.
"Does making arrangements mean just sneaking me in? If so, those guys were kind of crap security."
Adrian scoffed.
"Hey, we had the right passwords, that's all it takes. I stole or borrowed them off my mom's list."
"Your mom's one of the people who helped organize this?"
"Yep. Her branch of the Taurus family's been deep inside this group for centuries. They apparently had a really big ceremony here after the school attack."
I turned all of this over in my mind, trying to decide how I felt. I hated when people were obsessed with status and appearances.
yet it was hard to fault them wanting to honor those who had been killed, particularly when a majority of them had been Dampiers. The Strigoi attack on St. Vladimir's was a memory that would forever haunt me. Before I could ponder much further, a familiar sensation swept me. "Lissa's here," I said, looking around. I could feel her nearby, but didn't spot her immediately in the sea of masks and shadows. "There." She stood apart from some of the others, wearing a rose-hued dress and a white and gold mask with swans on it. Through our link, I felt her searching for anyone she knew. I impulsively started to go to her, but Adrian held me back, telling me to wait while he retrieved her.
"What is all this?"
she asked when she reached me. "I figured you'd know," I told her. "It's all top-secret royal stuff."
"Too top-secret for me," she said. "I got my invite from the queen."
She told me it was part of my heritage and to keep it to myself. And then Adrian came and said I had to come for your sake.
"Tatiana invited you directly?"
I exclaimed. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. Lissa would have hardly needed sneaking in like I did. I figured someone would have made sure she got an invitation. But I'd assumed it had all been Adrian's doing. I glanced around uneasily. "Is Tatiana here?"
"Likely," said Adrian, voice annoyingly casual.
As usual, his aunt's presence didn't have the same impact on him that it did the rest of us.
"Oh, hey, there's Christian, with the fire mask."
I didn't know how Adrian spotted Christian, aside from the not-so-subtle mask metaphor. With his height and dark hair, Christian easily blended in with the other Maroi around him and had even been chatting with a girl standing nearby, which seemed out of character.
"No way did he get a legit invite," I said. If any Ozeras had been deemed special enough to come to this, Christian wouldn't have been one of them.
"He didn't,"
agreed Adrian, making a small gesture for Christian to join us. "I gave him one of the passwords I stole from Mum." I gave Adrian a startled look.
"How many did you steal?"
"Enough to..."
"Let us come to attention."
A man's booming voice rang out through the room, halting both Adrian's words and Christian's steps. With a grimace, Christian returned to where he'd been standing, cut off from us now on the other side of the room. It looked like I wouldn't have the chance to ask Lissa about Dimitri after all. Without any direction, the others in the room began forming a circle around the fire pit. The room wasn't big enough for us to make a single layered circle, so I was still able to stay behind other Maroi as I watched the spectacle. Lissa stood by me, but her attention was fixated across from us, on Christian. She was disappointed that he hadn't been able to join us.
"Tonight we come to honor the spirits of those who died fighting the great evil that has plagued us for so long."
This was the same man who had called us to attention. The black mask he wore glittered with silver swirls. He wasn't anyone special that I recognized. It was probably safe to assume that he was someone from an important bloodline who happened to have a good voice for bringing people together. Adrian confirmed it.
"That's Anthony Badica. They always recruit him as an MC."
Anthony seemed more like a religious leader than an MC right now, but I didn't want to answer back and attract anyone's notice.
"Tonight we honor them," continued Anthony.
I flinched as almost everyone around us repeated those words. Lissa and I exchanged startled looks. Apparently, there was a script we hadn't been told about.
"Their lives were taken from us too soon," continued Anthony.
"Tonight we honor them."
Okay, the script might not be so hard to follow after all. Anthony kept talking about how terrible the tragedy was, and we repeated the same response. The whole idea of this death watch still weirded me out, but Lissa's sadness permeated the bond and began to affect me too. Priscilla had always been good to her, and polite to me. Grant might have only been Lissa's guardian a short time, but he had protected her and helped her. In fact, if not for Grant's work with Lissa, Dimitri might still be a Strigoi. So slowly, the gravity of it all began to hit me. And even if I thought there were better ways to mourn, I appreciated the acknowledgement the dead were getting. After a few more refrains, Anthony gestured someone forward. A woman in a glittering emerald mask came forward with a torch.
Adrian shifted beside me.
My darling mother, he murmured. Sure enough, now that he'd pointed it out, I could clearly make out Daniela's features.
She tossed her torch into the fire pit, and it lit up like the 4th of July. Someone must have doused that wood with either gasoline or Russian vodka. Maybe both. No wonder the other guests had kept their distance. Daniela melted into the crowd, and another woman came forward holding a tray with golden goblets. Walking around the circle, she handed a cup to each person. When she ran out, another woman appeared with a tray. As the goblets were distributed, Anthony explained.
Now we will toast and drink to the dead, so that their spirits will move on and find peace.
I shifted uncomfortably. People talked about restless spirits and the dead finding peace without really knowing what that meant. Being shadow-kissed came with the ability to see the restless dead, and it had taken me a long time to gain control so that I didn't see them. They were always around me. I had to work to keep them blocked out. I wondered what I'd see now if I let down my walls. Would the ghosts of those killed the night of Dimitri's attack be hovering around us? Adrian sniffed his cup as soon as he got it and scowled. For a moment, I felt panic until I sniffed mine too. Wine, thank God, I whispered to him. From your face, I thought it was blood. I recalled how much he hated blood that wasn't straight from the source.
Nah, he murmured back. Just a bad vintage.
When everyone had their wine, Anthony raised his cup over his head with both hands. With the fire behind him, it gave him an almost sinister, otherworldly look.
We drink to Priscilla Voda, he said.
We drink to Priscilla Voda, everyone repeated.
He brought the goblet down and took a sip. So did everyone else. Well, except for Adrian. He gulped half his down, bad vintage or not. Anthony raised his cup over his head again.
We drink to James Wilkett.
As I repeated the words, I realized James Wilkett was one of Priscilla's guardians. This crazy group of royals really was showing respect to Dampierre's. We went through the other guardians one by one, but I kept my sip small, wanting to keep a level head tonight. I was pretty sure that by the end of the name list, Adrian was faking his sips because he'd run out. When Anthony finished naming all who had died, he held his cup up again and approached the blazing fire, which had begun to make the small room uncomfortably hot. The back of my dress was growing damp with sweat.
To all those lost by the great evil, we honor your spirits and hope they will move on in peace to the next world.
He then dumped the remainder of his wine into the flames. All this talk of spirits lingering in the world certainly didn't go along with the usual Christian afterlife beliefs that dominated Moroi religion. It made me wonder just how old this ceremony really was. Once more, I had an urge to drop my barriers and see if any of this had really drawn ghosts to us, but I feared what I'd find. Besides, I promptly got distracted when everyone else in the circle began dumping their wine into the fire as well. One by one, going clockwise, each person approached. All was silent as this happened, save for the crackling in the fire pit and shifting of logs. Everyone watched respectfully. When my turn came, I fought hard not to tremble. I hadn't forgotten that Adrian had sneaked me in here. Lowly Moroi weren't allowed, let alone Dampierre's. What would they do? Declare the space violated? Mob me? Cast me into the fire? My fears proved unfounded. No one said or did anything unusual as I poured out my wine, and a moment later, Adrian stepped forward for his turn. I melted back beside Lyssa. When the entire circle had gone up, we were led into a moment of silence for the departed. Having witnessed Lyssa's kidnapping and subsequent rescue, I had a lot of dead to ponder. No amount of silence would ever do them justice. Another unspoken signal seemed to pass through the room. The circle dispersed, and the tension lifted. People again fell into small, chatty groups, just like at any other party, though I did see tears on the faces of some. A lot of people must have liked Priscilla, I observed. Adrian turned toward a table that had mysteriously been arranged during the ceremony. It sat against the back wall and was filled with fruit, cheese, and more wine. Naturally, he poured a glass.
"They aren't all crying for her," he said.
"I find it hard to believe they're crying for the Dampiers," I pointed out. "No one here even knew them."
"Not true," he said.
Lissa quickly caught his meaning. "Most of the people who went on the rescue would have been guardians assigned to Maroi. They couldn't all be court guardians." She was right, I realized. We'd had too many people with us at the warehouse. Many of these Maroi had undoubtedly lost guardians that they'd become close to. Despite the disdain I often had for these types of royals, I knew some had probably formed legitimate friendships with and attachments to their bodyguards.
"This is a lame party,"
a voice suddenly said. We turned and saw that Christian had finally made his way over to us.
"I couldn't tell if we were supposed to be having a funeral or summoning the devil. It was kind of a half-assed attempt at both."
"Stop it," I said, surprising myself. "Those people died for you last night. Whatever this is, it's still out of respect for them." Christian's face grew sober.
"You're right."
Beside me, I'd felt Lissa light up inside when she saw him. The horrors of their ordeal had brought them closer together, and I recalled the tenderness they'd shared on the ride back. She offered him a warm look and got a tentative smile in return. Maybe some good would come of all that had happened. Maybe they'd be able to fix their problems. Or maybe not. Adrian broke into a grin.
"Hey, glad you can make it."
For a moment, I thought he was speaking to Christian. Then I looked and saw a girl in a peacock mask had joined us. With the mingling people and masks, I hadn't noticed that she was purposely standing near us. I peered at her, seeing only blue eyes and golden curls before I finally recognized her. Mia.
"What are you doing here?" I asked.
She grinned.
"Adrian got me a password."
Adrian apparently got passwords for half the party. He seemed very pleased with himself.
"See?"
he said, smiling at me.
"I told you I'd make this worth your while. The whole gang's here. Nearly."
"This is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen," said Mia, glancing around. "I don't see why it has to be a secret that the people who got killed were heroes. Why can't they wait for the group funeral?"
Adrian shrugged.
"I told you this is an ancient ceremony. It's a holdover from the old country, and these people think it's important. From what I know, it used to be a lot more elaborate. This is the modernized version."
It occurred to me then that Lissa hadn't said a single word since we'd noticed Christian had come with Mia. I opened myself to the bond, feeling a flood of jealousy and resentment. I still maintained Mia was one of the last people Christian would be involved with. Okay, it was hard for me to imagine him involved with anyone. His getting together with Lissa had been monumental. Lissa couldn't see that, though. All she saw was him continually hanging out with other girls. As our conversation continued, Lissa's attitude grew frostier, and the friendly looks he'd been giving her began to fade.
"So is it true?"
Mia asked, oblivious to the drama unfolding around her.
"Is Dimitri really back?"
Lissa and I exchanged glances.
"Yes," I said firmly. "He's a Dampier, but no one believes it yet because they're idiots."
"It just happened, little Dampier."
Adrian's tone was gentle, though the topic clearly made him uncomfortable too.
"You can't expect everyone to get on board with it right away."
"But they are idiots," said Lissa fiercely. "Anyone who talks to him can tell he's not a Strigoi. I'm pushing for them to let him out of his cell so that people can actually see for themselves."
I wished she would push a little harder for me to get to see him, but now wasn't the time to talk about that. Eyeing the room, I wondered if some people would have trouble accepting Dimitri because of his role in the deaths of their loved ones. He hadn't been in control of himself, but that wasn't enough to bring back the dead. Still uncomfortable around Christian, Lissa was growing restless. She also wanted to leave and check on Dimitri.
"How long do we have to stay here? Is there more to..."
"Who the hell are you?"
Our little cluster turned as one and found Anthony standing by us. Considering most of us were here illicitly, he could have been speaking to anyone. But, based on where his gaze was fixed, there was no question who he meant. He was talking to me.
Chapter 20.
You're not Maroi,
he continued. He wasn't shouting, but we'd definitely gotten the attention of the people standing near us.
You're Rose Hathaway, aren't you? How dare you and your impure blood invade the sanctity of our...
That's enough, a lofty voice suddenly said. I'll take it from here. Even with her face covered, there was no mistaking that voice. Tatiana swept in beside the guy, wearing a silver-flowered mask and a long-sleeved gray dress. I'd probably seen her earlier in the crowd and not even realized it. Until she spoke, she blended in with everyone else. The whole room was quiet now. Daniela Ivashkov scurried up behind Tatiana, her eyes widening behind her mask when she recognized me.
Adrian!
She began, but Tatiana was seizing the situation.
Come with me!
There was no question that the order was for me or that I would obey. She turned and walked swiftly toward the room's entrance. I hurried behind her, as did Adrian and Daniela. As soon as we were out in the torch-lit hall, Daniela turned on Adrian.
What were you thinking? You know I don't mind you bringing Rose to certain events, but this was...
Inappropriate, said Tatiana crisply. Although perhaps it is fitting that a Dampier see how much the sacrifices of her people are respected.
That shocked us all into a moment of silence. Daniela recovered herself first.
Yes, but tradition states that...
Tatiana interrupted her again.
I'm well aware of the tradition. It's a bad breach of etiquette. But Rosemary being here certainly doesn't ruin our intentions. Losing Priscilla...
Tatiana didn't choke up exactly, but she lost some of her normal composure. I didn't think of someone like her as having a best friend, but Priscilla pretty much had been. How would I act if I'd lost Lyssa? Not nearly so controlled.
Losing Priscilla is something I'll feel for a very, very long time,
Tatiana managed at last. Her sharp eyes were on me.
And I hope you really do understand how much we need and value you and all the other guardians. I know sometimes your race feels underappreciated. You aren't. Those who died have left a gaping hole in our ranks, one that leaves us even more undefended, as I'm sure you must know.
I nodded, still surprised Tatiana wasn't shrieking for me to get out. It's a big loss, I said. And it makes the situation worse because numbers are what harm us half the time, especially when the Strigoi form large groups. We can't always match that. Tatiana nodded, seeming pleasantly surprised we'd agreed on something. That made two of us.
I knew you'd understand. Nonetheless,
she turned toward Adrian,
you shouldn't have done this. Some lines of propriety need to be maintained.
Adrian was surprisingly meek. Sorry, Aunt Tatiana, I just thought it was something Rose should see.
You'll keep this to yourself, won't you?
Asked Daniela, turning back to me.
A lot of the guests are very, very conservative. They wouldn't want this getting out.
That they met by firelight and played dress-up?
Yeah, I could see them wanting that kept a secret.
I won't tell anyone, I assured them.
Good, said Tatiana. Now, you should still probably leave before... Is that Christian Ozera?
Her eyes had drifted back toward the crowded room. Yes, both Adrian and I said.
He didn't get an invitation, exclaimed Daniela. Is that your fault, too?
It's not my fault so much as my genius, said Adrian. I doubt anyone will know so long as he behaves himself, said Tatiana with a sigh. And I'm sure he'd take any opportunity he can to talk to Vasilisa.
Oh, I said without thinking. That's not Lyssa. Lyssa had actually turned her back toward Christian and was speaking to someone else while casting anxious looks out the door at me.
Who is it?
Asked Tatiana.
Crap.
That's, Mia Rinaldi. She's a friend of ours from St. Vladimir's. I'd almost considered lying and giving her a royal name. Some families were so big that it was impossible to keep track of everyone.
Rinaldi? Tatiana frowned. I think I know a servant with that name.
I was actually pretty impressed that she knew the people who worked for her. Yet again, my opinion of her shifted.
A servant?
Asked Daniela, giving her son a warning look.
Is there anyone else I should know about?
No, if I'd had more time, I probably could have got Eddie here. Hell, maybe even jailbait.
Daniela looked scandalized.
Did you just say jailbait?
It's just a joke, I said hastily, not wanting to make this situation worse. I was afraid of how Adrian might answer. It's what we sometimes call our friend Jill Mastrano. Neither Tatiana nor Daniela seemed to think that was a joke at all.
Well, no one seems to realize they don't belong, said Daniela, nodding toward Christian and Mia. Though the gossips here will no doubt be running wild with how Rose interrupted this event.
Sorry, I said, feeling bad that I might have gotten her in trouble.
Nothing to be done for it now, said Tatiana wearily. You should leave now so that everyone thinks you were severely chastised. Adrian, you come back with us and make sure your other guests don't raise any attention. And do not do something like this again. I won't, he said almost convincingly.
The three began to turn away, leaving me to skulk off, but Tatiana paused and glanced back.
Wrong or not, don't forget what you saw here. We really do need guardians.
I nodded, a flush of pride running through me at her acknowledgement. Then she and the others returned to the room. I watched them wistfully, hating that everyone in there thought I'd been kicked out in disgrace. Considering it could have gone a lot worse for me, I decided to count my blessings. I removed the mask, having nothing more to hide, and made the trek back upstairs and outdoors. I hadn't gotten very far when someone stepped out in front of me. It was a sign of my preoccupation that I nearly leapt 10 feet in the air.
Mikhail!
I exclaimed. You scared me half to death. What are you doing out here?
Actually, I've been looking for you.
There was an anxious, nervous look about him.
I went by your building earlier, but you weren't around.
Yeah, I was at the masquerade of the damned. He stared at me blankly. Never mind. What's up?
I think we might have a chance.
Chance for what?
I heard you tried to see Dimitri today.
Ah, yes. The topic I definitely wanted to think more about.
Yeah, try is pretty optimistic. He doesn't want to see me. Never mind the army of guardians blocking me out.
Mikhail shifted uncomfortably, peering around like a frightened animal.
That's why I came to find you.
Okay, I'm really not following any of this. I was also starting to get a headache from the wine. Mikhail took a deep breath and exhaled.
I think I can sneak you in to see him.
I waited for a moment, wondering if there was a punchline coming, or if maybe this was all some delusion born out of my wound-up emotions. Nope. Mikhail's face was deadly serious, and while I still didn't know him that well, I'd picked up enough to realize he didn't really joke around.
How?
I asked.
I tried, and...
Mikhail beckoned for me to follow.
Come on, and I'll explain. We don't have much time.
I wasn't about to waste this chance and hurried after him.
Has something happened?
I asked, once I'd caught up to his longer stride.
Did he ask for me?
It was more than I dared to hope for. Mikhail's use of the word sneak didn't really support that idea anyway.
They've lightened his guard,
Mikhail explained.
Really? How many?
There had been about 12 down there when Lissa visited, including her escort. If they'd come to their senses and realized they only needed a guy or two on Dimitri, then that boded well for everyone accepting that he was no longer Strigoi.
He's down to about 5.
Oh. Not great. Not horrible. But I guess even that means they're a little closer to believing he's safe now? Mikhail shrugged, keeping his eyes on the path ahead of us. It had rained during the death watch, and the air, while still humid, had cooled a little.
Some of the guardians do, but it'll take a royal decree from the council to officially declare what he is.
I almost came to a halt.
Declare what he is?
I exclaimed.
He's not a what? He's a person, a Dompier like us. I know, but it's out of our hands.
You're right, sorry, I grumbled. No point in shooting the messenger. Well, I hope they get off their asses and come to a decision soon.
The silence that followed spoke legions. I gave Mikhail a sharp glare.
What? What aren't you telling me? I demanded.
He shrugged.
The rumor is that there's some other big thing being debated in the council right now. Something that takes priority.
That enraged me too.
What in the world could take priority over Dimitri?
Calm, Rose. Stay calm. Focus. Don't let the darkness make this worse. I always fought to keep it buried, but it often exploded in times of stress. And this? Yeah, this was a pretty stressful time. I shifted back to the original topic. We reached the holding building, and I took the steps up two at a time.
Even if they've lightened the guardians on Dimitri, they still won't let me in. The ones that are there would know I was ordered to keep away.
A friend of mine's covering the front shift right now. We won't have long, but he'll tell the guardians in the holding area that you were authorized to come down.
Mikhail was about to open the door, and I stopped him, putting my hand on his arm.
Why are you doing this for me? The Moroi Council might not think Dimitri's a big deal, but the guardians do. You could get in big trouble.
He looked down at me, again with that small, bitter smile.
Do you have to ask?
I thought about it. No, I said softly.
When I lost Sonia...
Mikhail closed his eyes for a heartbeat, and when he opened them, they seemed to be staring off into the past.
When I lost her, I didn't want to go on living. She was a good person, really. She turned Strigoi out of desperation. She saw no other way to save herself from spirit. I would give anything, anything for a chance to help her. To fix things between us. I don't know if that'll ever be possible for us, but it is possible for you right now. I can't let you lose this.
With that, he let us in, and sure enough, there was a different guardian on duty. Just as Mikhail had said, the guy called down to tell the jail guardians Dimitri had a visitor. Mikhail's friend seemed incredibly nervous about it all, which was understandable. Still, he was willing to help. It was amazing, I thought, what friends would do for each other. These last couple of weeks were undeniable proof of that. Just like at Lissa's visit, two guardians showed up to escort me downstairs. I recognized them from when I'd been in her head, and they seemed surprised to see me. If they'd overheard Dimitri adamantly saying he didn't want me to visit, then my presence would indeed be shocking. But as far as they knew, someone in power had condoned me being here, so they asked no questions. Mikhail trailed us as we wound our way down, and I felt my heartbeat and breathing grow rapid. Dimitri. I was about to see Dimitri. What would I say? What would I do? It was almost too much to comprehend. I had to keep mentally slapping myself to focus, or else I was going to slide into dumbstruck shock. When we reached the hallway that held the cells, I saw two guardians standing in front of Dimitri's cell, one at the far end and two others by the entrance we'd come through. I stopped, uneasy about the thought of others overhearing me talk to Dimitri. I didn't want an audience like Lissa had had, but with the emphasis on security here, I might not have a choice.
Can I get a little privacy?
I asked. One of my escorts shook his head.
Official orders. Two guardians have to be posted at the cell at all times.
She's a guardian,
pointed out Mikhail mildly.
So am I. Let us go. The rest can wait by the door.
I flashed Mikhail a grateful look. I could handle having him nearby. The others, deciding we would be safe enough, moved discreetly to the ends of the hall. It wasn't total and complete privacy, but they wouldn't hear everything. My heart felt ready to burst from my chest as Mikhail and I walked over to Dimitri's cell and faced it. He was seated almost as he had been when Lissa arrived, on the bed, curled up into himself, back facing us. Words stuck in my throat. Coherent thought fled from my mind. It was like I'd totally forgotten the reason I'd come here. Dimitri? I said. At least that's what I tried to say. I choked up a little, so the sounds that came out of my mouth were garbled. It was apparently enough, though, because Dimitri's back suddenly went rigid.
He didn't turn around. Dimitri, I repeated more clearly this time. It's me. There was no need for me to say any more. He'd known from that first attempt at his name who I was. I had a feeling he would have known my voice in any situation. He probably knew the sound of my heartbeat and breathing. As it was, I think I stopped breathing while I waited for his response. When it came, it was a little disappointing.
No.
No what? I asked. As in no, it's not me? He exhaled in frustration, a sound almost, but not quite, like the one he used to make when I did something particularly ridiculous in our trainings.
No, as in I don't want to see you.
His voice was thick with emotion.
They weren't supposed to let you in.
Yeah, well, I kind of found a workaround.
Of course you did.
He still wouldn't face me, which was agonizing. I glanced over at Mikhail, who gave me a nod of encouragement. I guessed I should be glad that Dimitri was talking to me at all. I had to see you. I had to know if you were okay.
I'm sure Liz has already updated you.
I had to see for myself.
Well, now you see.
All I see is your back. It was maddening, yet every word I got out of him was a gift. It felt like 1,000 years since I'd heard his voice. Like before, I wondered how I could have ever confused the Dimitri in Siberia with this one. His voice had been identical in both places, the same pitch and accent. Yet as a Strigoi, his words had always left a chill in the air. This was warm. Honey and velvet and all sorts of wonderful things wrapping around me, no matter the terrible things he was saying.
I don't want you here, said Dimitri flatly. I don't want to see you.
I took a moment to assess strategy. Dimitri still had that depressed, hopeless feel around him. Lissa had approached it with kindness and compassion. She'd gotten through his defenses, though a lot of that was because he regarded her as his savior. I could try a similar tactic. I could be gentle and supportive and full of love, all of which were true. I loved him. I wanted to help him so badly, yet I wasn't sure that particular method would work for me. Rose Hathaway was not always known for the soft approach. I did, however, play on his sense of obligation. You can't ignore me, I said, trying to keep my volume out of range of the other guardians. You owe me. I saved you. A few moments of silence passed.
Lisa saved me, he said carefully.
Anger burned within my chest, just as it had when I'd watched Lissa visit him. How could he hold her in such high regard but not me? How do you think she got to that point? I demanded. How do you think she learned how to save you? Do you have any idea what I had to go through to get that information? You think me going to Siberia was crazy? Believe me, you haven't even come close to seeing crazy. You know me. You know what I'm capable of. And I broke my own records this time. You owe me. It was harsh, but I needed a reaction from him. Some kind of emotion. And I got it. He jerked around, eyes glinting and power crackling through his body. As always, his movements were both fierce and graceful. Likewise, his voice was a mix of emotions, anger, frustration, and concern.
Then the best thing I can do is...
He froze. The brown eyes that had been narrowed with aggravation suddenly went wide with... What? Amazement? Awe? Or perhaps that stunned feeling I kept having when I saw him. Because suddenly, I was pretty sure he was experiencing the same thing I had earlier. He'd seen me plenty of times in Siberia. He'd seen me just the other night at the warehouse. But now he was truly viewing me with his own eyes. Now that he was no longer Strigoi, his whole world was different. His outlook and feelings were different. Even his soul was different. It was like one of those moments when people talked about their lives flashing before their eyes. Because as we stared at one another, every part of our relationship replayed in my mind's eye. I remembered how strong and invincible he'd been when we first met, when he'd come to bring Lissa and me back to the folds of Moroi society. I remembered the gentleness of his touch when he'd bandaged my bloodied and battered hands. I remembered him carrying me in his arms after Victor's daughter Natalie had attacked me. Most of all, I remembered the night we'd been together in the cabin, just before the Strigoi had taken him. A year. We'd known each other only a year, but we'd lived a lifetime in it. And he was realizing that too, I knew, as he studied me. His gaze was all-powerful, taking in every single one of my features and filing them away. Dimly, I tried to recall what I looked like today. I still wore the dress from the secret meeting and knew it looked good on me. My eyes were probably bloodshot from crying earlier, and I'd only had time for a quick brushing of my hair before heading off with Adrian. Somehow, I doubted any of it mattered. The way Dimitri was looking at me, it confirmed everything I'd suspected. The feelings he'd had for me before he'd been turned, the feelings that had become twisted while a Strigoi, were all still there. They had to be. Maybe Lissa was his savior. Maybe the rest of the court thought she was a goddess. I knew right then that no matter how bedraggled I looked or how blank he tried to keep his face, I was a goddess to him. He swallowed and forcibly gained control of himself, just like he always had. Some things never changed.
"Then the best thing I can do," he continued calmly, "is to stay away from you. That's the best way to repay the debt."
It was hard for me to keep control and maintain some sort of logical conversation. I was as awestruck as he was. I was also outraged. "You offered to repay Lissa by staying by her side forever."
"I didn't do the things."
He averted his eyes for a moment, again struggling for control, and then met mine once more.
"I didn't do the things to her that I did to you."
"You weren't you. I don't care." My temper was starting to burn again.
"How many?" he exclaimed. "How many guardians died last night because of what I did?"
I think 6 or 7. Harsh losses. I felt a small pang in my chest, recalling the names read off in that basement room.
6 or 7?
Dimitri repeated flatly, anguish in his voice.
"Dead in one night. Because of me."
"You didn't act alone. And I told you, you weren't you. You couldn't control yourself. It doesn't matter to me."
"It matters to me,"
he shouted, his voice ringing through the hallway. The guardians at each end shifted but didn't approach. When Dimitri spoke again, he kept his voice lower, but it was still trembling with wild emotions.
"It matters to me. That's what you don't get. You can't understand. You can't understand what it's like knowing what I did. That whole time being Strigoi, it's like a dream now, but it's one I remember clearly. There can be no forgiveness for me. And what happened with you, I remember that most of all. Everything I did, everything I wanted to do."
"You're not going to do it now," I pleaded. "So let it go. Before everything happened, you said we could be together. That we'd get assignments near each other and..."
"Rosa,"
he interrupted, the nickname piercing my heart. I think he'd slipped up, not truly meaning to call me that. There was a twisted smile on his lips, one without humor.
"Do you really think they're going to ever let me be a guardian again? It'll be a miracle if they let me leave."
"That's not true. Once they realize you've changed and that you're really your old self, everything will go back to how it was." He shook his head sadly.
"Your optimism, your belief that you can make anything happen. Oh, Rose, it's one of the amazing things about you. It's also one of the most infuriating things about you."
"I believe that you could come back from being a Strigoi," I pointed out. "Maybe my belief in the impossible isn't so crazy after all." This conversation was so grave, so heartbreaking, yet it still kept reminding me of some of our old practice sessions. He'd tried to convince me of some serious point, and I'd counter it with Rose logic. It would usually earn me a mix of amusement and exasperation. I had the feeling that were the situation just a little different, he'd have that same attitude now. But this was not a practice session. He wouldn't smile and roll his eyes. This was serious. This was life and death.
"I'm grateful for what you did,"
he said formally, still struggling to master his feelings. It was another trait we shared, both of us always working to stay in control. He'd always been better at it than me.
"I do owe you, and it's a debt I can't pay. Like I said, the best thing I can do is stay out of your life."
"If you're part of Lissa's, then you can't avoid me."
"People can exist around each other without there being any more than that,"
he said firmly. It was such a Dimitri thing to say. Logic fighting emotion. And that's when I lost it. Like I said, he was always better at keeping control. Me? Not so much. I threw myself against the bars so rapidly that even Mikhail flinched.
"But I love you,"
I hissed.
"And I know you love me too. Do you really think you can spend the rest of your life ignoring that when you're around me?"
The troubling part was that for a very long time at the academy, Dimitri had been convinced he could do exactly that. And he had been prepared to spend his life not acting on his feelings for me. "You love me," I repeated. "I know you do." I stretched my arm through the bars. It was a long way from touching him, but my fingers reached out desperately, as though they might suddenly grow and be able to make contact. That was all I needed. One touch from him to know he still cared. One touch to feel the warmth of his skin and...
"Isn't it true," said Dimitri quietly, "that you're involved with Adrian Ivashkov?"
My arm dropped.
Where did you hear that?"
"Things get around,"
he said, echoing Mikhail.
"They certainly do,"
I muttered.
"So are you?"
he asked more adamantly. I hesitated before answering. If I told him the truth, he'd have more ground to make his point about us keeping apart. It was impossible for me to lie to him, though.
"Yes, but..."
"Good."
I'm not sure how I expected him to react. Jealousy? Shock? Instead, as he leaned back against the wall, he looked relieved.
"Adrian's a better person than he gets credit for. He'll be good to you."
"But..."
"That's where your future is, Rose."
A bit of that hopeless, world-weary attitude was returning.
"You don't understand what it's like coming through what I did. Coming back from being a Strogoi. It's changed everything. It's not just that what I did to you was unforgivable. All my feelings, my emotions for you, they changed. I don't feel the way I used to. I might be a Dampier again, but after what I went through, well, it scarred me. It altered my soul. I can't love anyone now. I can't. I don't love you. There's nothing more between you and me."
My blood turned cold. I refused to believe his words, not after the way he'd looked at me earlier.
"No, that's not true. I love you, and you..."
"Guards!"
Dimitri shouted, his voice so loud that it was a wonder the whole building didn't shake.
"Get her out of here! Get her out of here!"
With amazing guardian reflexes, the guards were down at the cell in a flash. As a prisoner, Dimitri wasn't in a position to make requests, but the authorities here certainly weren't going to encourage a situation that would create a commotion. They began herding Mikhail and me out, but I resisted.
"No, wait!"
"Don't fight it,"
murmured Mikhail in my ear.
"Our time's running out, and you couldn't have accomplished anything else today anyway."
I wanted to protest, but the words stuck on my lips. I let the guardians direct me out, but not before I gave Dimitri one last lingering look. He had a perfect guardian blank look on his face, but the piercing way he stared at me made me certain there was a lot going on within him. Mikhail's friend was still on duty upstairs, which let us slip out without getting in much more trouble.
"A As soon as we were outdoors, I came to a halt and kicked one of the steps angrily.
Damn it!
I yelled. A couple of Maroi across the courtyard, probably coming home from some late party, gave me startled looks.
Calm down, said Mikhail. This was the first time you've seen him since the change. There are only so many miracles you can expect right away. He'll come around.
I'm not so sure, I grumbled.
Sighing, I looked up at the sky. Little wispy clouds moved lazily about, but I barely saw them.
You don't know him like I do.
Because while part of me thought that a lot of what Dimitri had said was indeed a reaction to the shock of returning to himself, there was another part of me that wondered. I knew Dimitri. I knew his sense of honor, his adamant beliefs about what was right and wrong. He stood by those beliefs. He lived his life by them. If he truly, truly believed that the right thing to do was to avoid me and let any relationship between us fade, well, there was a good chance he might very well act on that idea, no matter the love between us. As I'd recalled earlier, he'd certainly shown a lot of resistance back at St. Vladimir's. As for the rest, the part about him no longer loving me or being able to love anyone, well, that would be a different problem altogether if it were true. Both Christian and Adrian had worried there would be some piece of Strigoi left in him, but their fears had been about violence and bloodshed. No one would have guessed this, that living as a Strigoi had hardened his heart, killing any chance of him loving anyone. Killing any chance of him loving me. And I was pretty sure that if that was the case, then part of me would die too.
Chapter 21. There was little more Mikhail and I could say to each other after that. I didn't want him to get in trouble for what he'd done, and I let him lead us out of the Guardian's building in silence. As we emerged outside, I could see the sky purpling in the east. The sun was nearly up, signaling the middle of our night. Briefly flipping into Lyssa's mind, I read that the death watch had finally ended, and she was on her way back to her room, worried about me, and still annoyed that Christian had shown up with Mia. I followed Lyssa's example, wondering if sleep might ease the agony that Dimitri had left in my heart. Probably not. Still, I thanked Mikhail for his help and the risk he'd taken. He merely nodded, like there was nothing to thank him for. It was exactly what he would have wanted me to do for him if our roles had been reversed and Ms. Karp had been the one behind bars. I fell into a heavy sleep back in my bed, but my dreams were troubled. Over and over, I kept hearing Dimitri tell me he couldn't love me anymore. It beat into me over and over, smashing my heart into little pieces. At one point, it became more than a dreamlike beating. I heard real beating. Someone was pounding on my door, and slowly, I dragged myself out of my awful dreams. Bleary-eyed, I went to the door and found Adrian. The scene was almost a mirror of last night when he'd come to invite me to the Death Watch. Only this time, his face was much grimmer. For a second, I thought he'd heard about my visit to Dimitri. Or that maybe he'd gotten in a lot more trouble than we'd realized for sneaking half of his friends into a secret funeral.
Adrian, this is early for you.
I glanced over at a clock, discovering that I'd actually slept in pretty late.
Not early at all,
he confirmed, face still serious.
Lots of stuff going on. I had to come tell you the news before you heard it somewhere else.
What news?
The council's verdict. They finally passed that big resolution they've been debating. The one you came in for.
Wait, they're done? I recalled what Mikhail had said, that a mystery issue had been keeping the council busy. If it was finished, then they could move on to something else, say like officially declaring Dimitri a Dampier again. That's great news. And if this really was tied into when Tatiana had had me come describe my skills, well, was there really a chance I might be named Lyssa's guardian? Could the queen have really come through? She'd seemed friendly enough last night. Adrian regarded me with something I'd never seen from him. Pity.
You have no idea, do you?
No idea about what?
Rose?
He gently rested a hand on my